love to thee.
Now, I've got something I have to correct this evening. My wife and I have a ritual at night. We get in bed, and I tell her I love her. She tells me she loves me. I tell her I want her to sleep. I hope she sleeps good. She tells me the same thing. And then she says, "You gave the wrong reference last Sunday night, and you've got to fix it." So I'm going to fix it. That's happened 6 nights in a row now. Okay. First thing she told me this morning is, "You've got to fix that reference." Okay, we were talking. We're going to be in the book of Matthew tonight, by the way, folks. Okay, and we're going to start a study in Matthew. It's Jesus in the Gospels, and that's going to be a study that's going to last for a little while. And so, but as I was letting everybody know how these Gospels were written and the purpose for which they were written and the groups to which they were written, I told you that the Gospel of Matthew was written to the Romans. That's wrong. It's written to the Jews. Mark was written to the Romans. And then Luke was written to the Greeks. And John is our book. It was written to the Gentiles. Okay? So, honey, can I go to bed tonight without? Okay, very good. I see a thumbs up. I'm good. Okay. We need to study our Savior. We need to know more about Him. We can't know everything there is to know about Him. There's so much. John told us in his gospel, that in next to last chapter, that if everything that was known about Jesus was written, that the oceans or the sky could not contain it. The oceans wouldn't be enough ink to write about it. And so we have an opportunity to think about and study the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to start out of the book of Matthew. And as we come to places in the book where some of the other gospels make commentary about what occurred or what was going on or maybe that happened in the interim, we're going to go there so we can generally on Sunday night get a view of Jesus Christ and His ministry, of who He was, how God brought Him here, and then what God did with Him. And this is not going to be a 1 or 2 night event. This is going to take a while because we're going to actually be looking at all 4 of the Gospels together. So we're going to start tonight, and like I said, I'm going to use Matthew as my pattern, so we'll work off from that. In Matthew 5, 17 and 18, Jesus, that's the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made a comment, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." What better study could we do than to study the earthly life and ministry of our Savior, Jesus Christ? So we're going to study the Gospel of Matthew, and it was written to the Jews, not the Romans. To the Jews, and it was written by a Jew. Matthew was a tax collector, but that was not what his parents wanted him to be. His parents wanted him to be a priest or a prophet or even a Pharisee. He was trained as a Jew. As a young man, he was trained to be a Jewish minister of some sort. He had another name, Levi. That's a Jewish name. So, as we study, we're going to harmonize the Gospels. And that means that if another gospel provides information that's not here in Matthew, we'll look at it. Now, the life of the writer is important in understanding the perspective from which he is writing. Jesus spoke of an incident that is recorded in Luke 18. Luke 18, 10 through 14. Now, all of the Gospels fit together. And Jesus, well, God does not give us any idle words. When he gives us his word, every word is important. But he tells about incidents that we don't connect. And this came as a bit of a surprise to me, that Jesus would talk about one of his disciples. And so he does in Luke 18, 10 through 14. Let me read that to you. Luke 18, 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, as I was reading different introductions to the book of Matthew, one commentator expressed this opinion of this particular parable. There are no names given in the parable, just the occupation of each person. Let's look at one other scripture and see if there might be any connection. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. What was Matthew's occupation? He was a publican. He was a publican. Could this man, this publican, who sought God's forgiveness, have been Matthew? We don't know. Okay. We'll glean one more little piece of information to bring the ideas together. Many people want to know where they can find the names of the 12 disciples. They can find them in the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 10, 1 through 4, and let's read that. And when he had called on him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican. There it is again. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, we're going to start by looking at verse 3 of Matthew 10. In Matthew 9:9, we find Matthew responded without hesitation. When Jesus walked past his place of collecting taxes, he said, follow me, and he left everything and followed him. Could the heart of this publican had been prepared during his time praying in the temple with the Pharisee. We don't know. One more piece of information and we'll get started. Matthew wrote his gospel in about 50 AD. Jesus Christ had been dead for approximately 15 years. Now the Gospel of Matthew opens with the lineage of Joseph, the earthly husband of Mary. Now we know that Joseph was not the physical father of Jesus Christ. He was the stepfather. In Matthew verses 1 through 16, let me read that. It's a long passage. It's a lot of begets. But it's important that we know all we can about Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do that is by reading about him. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson. And Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, Rehoboam begat Abia, and Abia begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, Ammon begat Joaz, and Joaz begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Albad, and Albad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud. Eliud begat Eliezer, and Eliezer begat Matan, and Matan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Okay, there it is, for what it's worth. Do not go by my pronunciation. But that is the lineage of Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, the husband of Mary. And as we will look at a little bit later, Mary's lineage, we will see that they are exactly the same till we get to Solomon. When we get to Solomon, it branches. And then we can follow them on down. It goes on down to Mary, one line goes down to Joseph, we just read. So that's the lineage of Joseph, the father of Jesus Christ. So we need to look at Matthew 1:17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away to Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away to Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. We will find the lineage of Mary, and we'll not read it right now, in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38. Now, there's been a lot of controversy about whether this, the ancestry of Mary, is an error or is it an error of Joseph's lineage. We don't know. All we can do is take what the Bible says at face value. We know that the Bible is inspired of God. We know that His Holy Spirit inspired the men to write it. And so it's logical that the genealogy that we find in Luke will be Mary's genealogy, not Joseph's. The difference comes as a result of King David and who is followed from him. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was born on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, as we are doing this study of Matthew and Jesus, if you have a question during any of this, just put your hand up. I'll stop and we'll try and address it while it's fresh in your mind, okay? If you have a question. So, we are going to, once again, we're going to read a lot of scripture in this study because it's the Word of God. And that's what we have to rely upon. Not what man says, not what a Bible commentator says, but what God says in His Word. And so we go to Luke chapter 1, since we're looking at the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 26. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So they're both of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, if you are a former Catholic, that is going to sound very familiar. Because the prayer to Mary starts off, "Hail Mary, full of grace." And then we have these words here. Verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." This put Mary in quite a difficult position. The consequence of fornication or sex between unmarried people was death. So she was agreeing to the possibility that she could be put to death for carrying this child. So we resume our study now in Matthew 1. Verse 19 through 25. Remember what we have now. We have Mary and Joseph betrothed. Now, in the Jewish, under Jewish law, a betrothal was the same as a marriage. It just was not consummated. They were still living apart, with their own families. Beginning at verse 19 of Matthew 1. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This would be a pretty difficult situation for both, Mary and Joseph. Joseph would be talked about and gossiped about if he took Mary as his wife. Mary would be gossiped about and charged with all kinds of ungodly activities as a result of the fact that she was carrying this child. And yet, both of them were willing to submit to God that the Savior might be brought forth. Jewish girls have been waiting for centuries to be selected as the one to bring forth the Messiah. And I wonder what Mary thought when this angel, and the angel's name, by the way, was Gabriel. And when Gabriel came to her and shared with her the fact that she was to be what the Catholics call the Mother of God. The Mother of God. In a few weeks, we're gonna look at this relationship a little bit more in depth. But for tonight, we're just dealing with Joseph and Mary. There are other people that are involved. The normal practice, like I said, was that if a young woman became pregnant or had a child, started carrying a child, she was stoned to death. Normally, the man was also stoned to death. But Joseph was innocent. Mary was innocent. And the two of them just had to go about bearing their shame. If you're doing what God wants you to do, God is going to make sure that you can stand whatever criticism might be leveled against you. We always need to do. Joseph could have believed that Mary had committed fornication or adultery because they were betrothed. And so in that case, it would become adultery. But Joseph did as God commanded. Can you imagine the faith it took for each of them to believe God and to move forward? Yes?
Wasn't she very young at the time? 14?
Well, I think she would have been older than that.
Really?
Yeah. Probably. Not much, but somewhat older than that. The Bible doesn't tell us how old she was. You want to tell us how old you are? She said 14. Okay. So, Mary was willing to risk her relationship with Joseph. Joseph was willing to take Mary at the word of a dream that God brought to him. Everyone would think that they were trying that because they remained together, they were just trying to cover up their own misconduct. We have to be very careful about any accusations we make to anyone. Now, to keep things in order, we need to go once again to Luke 2. Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, so we can see how this is all going to come together. Remember, Mary was told that Elizabeth, her cousin, was expecting a child. So that's what we're going to go look at right now. Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor in Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now we go back to Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Seems like a strange time of year to be talking about Christmas and the birth of Christ. But this is exactly how it happened. When the wise men came, because of the time period that Herod put on the destruction of the children, and we'll see that in just a few minutes, Jesus was probably 2 years old by the time they got there. They didn't come right when he was born. We see these manger scenes with the wise men in them, and you know, there's Jesus in the manger and there's the wise men with their gifts. No, it was probably a couple of years before they got there. They started out when they saw the star, but you know, there was not Amtrak or Pan Am, you know. Yes. Right. Yes, it was no longer at the manger. They were in a house. And they were no longer in Bethlehem. It was another place. Well, we'll see in a minute. Yeah. So we need to understand at this point that if anyone is not a friend of Jesus, he is an enemy. And the same thing goes for the Christian. If anyone is not a friend of Jesus, they are an enemy of all those who follow Jesus. Herod was not a follower of baby Jesus, because the wise men told Herod when this child would be, that would become a king of Israel. Herod was just a little insane. He was also very jealous of the throne. So he took what he thought was appropriate action. And this is why we say Jesus was probably a couple years old when the wise men came. We go back to Matthew 2, verses 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And that's why we think that Jesus was a couple of years old at that point. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah the prophet. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. So Herod had all the children killed in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. Now, God is able and was able to take care of Jesus as a baby when he was born. He was born where God said he would be born, in the village of Bethlehem. There was a prophet who prophesied that. And God was able to move Joseph and Mary out of that area to another area to flee Herod and the wrath that he would bestow upon them. They fled to Egypt. The Bible tells us he will call his son out of Egypt. And he did. He told Joseph, we'll get there in a minute. Let's look at Matthew 2, 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw, we've read that. So now, Matthew 2, 13 and 15. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So as we are beginning to see this, we are beginning to see all of the prophecies that have been fulfilled about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Jews did not recognize him. The prophecies were theirs, written by their prophets, proclaimed by their prophets, but still they did not accept him. Matthew 2, 19 through 23. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph of Egypt. Now, folks, don't get the idea that Joseph was slothful. He didn't spend his whole time sleeping, okay? Even though God spoke to him through dreams. Dreams are one of the least reliable ways for God to speak to us. Okay, so we want the book. He gave us the book, so we don't have to rely on dreams. He can use dreams to move us to do certain things or to give us ideas of what he wants from us. But he doesn't generally use dreams today. The Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside unto the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, we're going to go ahead and finish our study for tonight by seeing how things were prepared for the ministry of Jesus. To do this, we need to go back to Luke 1 again. Back to Luke 1. And again, in about 2 weeks, we'll look into this a little more deeply. Luke 1, 5 through 25. I know it's a long passage, but it's necessary. We need to know how these things work. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He came to do the priest job, to offer incense upon a particular altar. When he got there, there was an angel standing beside the altar. And it came to pass according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people prayed without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing beside the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said to him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his menstruation were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men." God was preparing the way for Jesus. God has prepared the way for each of us. We're not here by accident tonight. A lot of people in your life had something to do with the fact that you're here tonight. They either told you about Jesus, they steered you toward him. God does not have accidents. God has a purpose for each one of us. Now we're going to jump from verse 25 to verse 57 in Luke chapter 1. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousin heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred called by that name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they all marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. And fear came on upon all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child is this?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. We all know who the child was. It was John the Baptist. And he came to prepare the way of Jesus. He was a cousin to Jesus. Wow. Can you imagine being a cousin of the Savior of mankind? And yet, he was a godly man. God had prepared him. And I'm not going to go any further tonight, but I do want to explain a little bit of what we have seen so far. We have seen God's plan to bring Jesus into the world. As prophesied, Jesus was to be a descendant of King David. And Jesus' stepfather and Jesus' mother, biological mother, both were in the line of David. They were very, very distant cousins. Not first or second cousins, like up in West Virginia, but they were distant cousins. And God brought them together because they were the right two people to be the parents and to raise Jesus Christ. God went ahead and he prepared the way of Jesus. He brought a man called John the Baptist into the world through Zechariah and Elizabeth. That man was raised to be a holy man. And we will see him as a part of Jesus' life. All of this was preparation for what God was going to do with Jesus. All of that was preparation so we would know this was God's son because he fulfilled the prophecies. He was born in the right place. He was born in the right family. And God sent a messenger ahead of him. John was 6 months older than Jesus. So John matured early enough that he could begin his ministry of baptizing people, Jewish people. Now, there's no place in the law that says they needed to be baptized. John came preaching, "Repent and be baptized," in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And that was his job. God has a job for all of us. And who knows what that job will be other than us. It's between you and God. And so God did all of this to prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come. Now, we're not, as you're going to find out next week, we know very little about Jesus' growing up. When he began his ministry, he was 30 years old. We know of 1 week. 1 week in those 30 years when he was 12. And his parents came to Jerusalem to make the sacrifice. And he stayed behind. And they had to come back and find him. We'll read about that next week. Any questions or comments on tonight? Yes.
It was mentioned in Bethlehem of Judea.
Right.
Is it the same as Judah?
Yes, that's the same as Judah. Bethlehem is just a few miles from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was God's capital. We will see that as we get on into this. And if we get into any of the future things, like in the book of Revelation, Jerusalem has been God's capital since the beginning. It is still God's capital, and it will be God's capital in the latter days. Even during the tribulation, it will be the capital. In the millennium, it's going to be our capital because we're going to be with the Jews. Other questions? I hear a freezer door being opened. There's a little bit of ice cream in the kitchen. And so I'm going to pray right now and close and dismiss you, but I'm also going to ask a blessing on the refreshment that we can enjoy afterwards, okay? Father, thank you for telling us the story of your Son and how it came about. Thank you for preparing the way and giving all of the prophecies and then, Father, moving that they might be fulfilled. Thank you that Jesus came and lived a sinless life and died for our sin. Father, may we serve him. May we be bondservants, willing to give up all that we have in life for him and for his cause. May we please you, Father, with our service. May it be according to thy will and the leading of thy Holy Spirit. Bless our time of fellowship now and the refreshments that you have provided. Father, bless them to the nourishment of our bodies. Use our bodies in this week to come in thy service, and we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.